You can't develop your intuition unless you're in yourself to be listening, right? I mean, you're an intuitive counselor. You know this, right? Otherwise, you get scattered. And what I have found is truly helpful, as well as profound, is that you can learn to use your own body as your truth barometer, right? How something lands in your body, but you have to stop and feel, right? So there's the coming home part. And be patient, right? If you've always just gone with, tried to be super logical and talk yourself out of a sensation you have or a, but then, you know, be patient, right? Be kind, be compassionate, and just keep practicing.
Welcome to Feed Your Wild, an immersive journey to help you remember your own medicine and awaken your intuitive healing gifts. I'm Vanessa Rodriguez, and join us for heart-centered, real conversations exploring intuition and spirituality, health and wellness, astrology, herbalism, and nature-based practices that will transform your health and life. Our mission is to inspire, empower you, and help you expand your spiritual and intuitive connection to its fullest expression so that we can build a more beautiful world together. Get ready to feed all parts of your wild self. Welcome, welcome back to Feed Your Wild. I'm your host, Vanessa Rodriguez, and I'm excited to dive into today's episode with Robin Rose Bennett. She is a storyteller, a writer, an herbalist, and green witch. And I have been deeply intrigued by her connection with the natural world and her wisdom on the interconnectedness of all beings, the healing power of earth, and the profound impact of herbalism on our lives. We also get a sneak peek into not only her personal journey and path of self-discovery with the green world, but also her new book, A Green Witch's Pocketbook of Wisdom, Big Little Life Tips. Before we get into our conversation, I just wanted to make a quick announcement. I recently created a new offering with the intention to make my intuitive healing work more accessible and to get laser focused on the top themes I see folks struggling with. This is an offering that is here to support you as we move into the new year, into 2024 and beyond. It's called Awaken and Align into 2024. These are pre-recorded 30-minute Akashic Soul Record readings that specifically focus on supporting you through your awakening and alignment process as you move into the new year. The way this works is you select the week, so you select a slot in one of the weeks ahead where you will receive this reading. So we won't actually meet. You will receive a pre-recorded 30-minute reading via email. So even if you don't see a time that works on your calendar, it doesn't really matter because you're going to be receiving the recording at some point that week that you select. For this Akashic Soul Record reading, I'll be opening up your Akashic Records, of course, as well as working with your human design if you provide all of your birth date info. And you'll receive intuitive channeled insights related to your unique path and question and selected theme. There are three themes to choose from. The first is to identify your core wounds and how to alchemize your greatest challenge in this time. The second is awaken your intuitive gifts for the journey ahead. And the third theme you can choose is align with your purpose and path. You'll get a recording to keep for life, really a touchstone that you can tune into anytime you start to feel stuck or lost again. As we move closer to the winter solstice, and at least in the Northern Hemisphere, and the nights are getting longer, we are reminded of the dying process. Really everywhere we look, right? Leaves falling, plants decaying, birdsong getting quieter, people staying indoors so the streets are getting quieter, resting, hibernation. It's a natural time to reflect upon the cycles within our own life and bring awareness to what wants to fall away. Yet sometimes we are so afraid of the death of something, career, relationship, habits and programming, whatever it may be. We hold on to it for dear life, grasping and clenching with everything we have, only to find ourselves being buried along with it. Technically still alive, but immobile and dragged down by the weight of the burden it carries. What wants to die in your life? What have you been resisting letting go? Death is natural. It's necessary. It's holy. To attempt to defy the natural process of death is not only arduous, it's futile and de-evolutionary. To force something to stay alive beyond its intended lifespan goes against natural law, and it often leads to more pain and suffering for all involved. I have been pulling the death card a lot for clients lately. The death card in tarot precedes temperance, and we talked about temperance in the latest Gemini full moon episode on the podcast. So if you want to hear more, head over to the previous episode and tune in. But death is the sacred fertilizer for a rebirth process that begins in temperance. It provides the necessary clearance and release in order to move into an aligned path. Death prepares us for the expansion and lessons that temperance holds. So we've moved from Scorpio to Sagittarius, from Pluto to Jupiter, and we're experiencing or have been experiencing massive transformative endings, and it's leading to tempered growth. So the invitation here is to let it die. Let the thing die so you can create space and be reborn. Be the death doula and the midwife, and allow yourself to be supported along the way. Now, when done well, death leads to awakening, and rebirth leads to alignment. It's not only a good idea to get help along the way, it's actually a really important part of the equation. And this season, of course, I've learned this lesson again, the hard way, in true third line fashion for all of you human design lovers. And I was reminded to practice what I preach. I got help. I not only called on God, my ancestors, my angels, my unseen spirit helpers, I also enlisted the support of intuitive human mentors and healers that could help me see and shift what I could not. We all have blind spots. We are meant to as earth beings. No matter how intuitive or psychic you are human. And so you are subject to the blind spots that are actually really important pieces of our experience and journey. So it doesn't mean that you're supposed to struggle alone and figure it all out by yourself. And that's my big why behind this Awaken and Align into 2024 offering. I really wanted to provide something that was perennial, that you could keep, that was going to dive deep and get into the crux of things, and also make it as accessible as possible in terms of price point and timing and scheduling and flexibility. So you can listen to this recording anytime. The Awaken and Align Akashic Soul Record readings are 188 and yours to keep forever. You could go to wildlyrooted.com/Akashic Records to learn more and sign up, or click the link in the show notes. Speaking of cycles and seasons, Robin Rose shares so much wisdom around that. And as we delve into the inspiration behind her unique pocket oracle book, designed to provide guidance and support in these challenging times. This book is a magical compilation of teachings that can bring joy, purpose, and meaning into daily life. I think it's a really beautiful companion to the Awaken and Align readings, and just a neat little gift for yourself or for a loved one. We journey with Robin as she shares the role of specific plants in her work and life, such as rose, linden, oak, and nettles, in opening the heart and nourishing the nervous system. Lastly, we explore the realm of herbal medicine and sensuality, emphasizing the crucial roles that they play in our overall wellness. Robin's wisdom serves as a reminder to embrace these aspects of ourselves and their connection to spirituality, grounding us in the essence of holistic wellness. Her teachings urge us to immerse ourselves in the wisdom of plants and the importance of self-care and embodiment. So join us for this enlightening journey with Robin Rose Bennett and be captivated by the power of plants and the magic of Mother Earth. Hello and welcome back to the Feed Your Wild podcast. Today I have Robin Rose Bennett. Robin Rose Bennett is a storyteller, writer, herbalist, and green witch. She shares earth wisdom with gratitude for the magic and mystery of the web of life. She's the author of Healing Magic, a green witch guidebook to conscious living, and The Gift of Healing Herbs, Plant Medicines, and Home Remedies for a Vibrantly Healthy Life, and a Young Green Witch's Guide to Plant Magic, Rituals, and Recipes from Nature. And today we're also talking about an additional book that you wrote that I absolutely am in love with and I have been using as a little oracle book myself for the past several days since I've received it. And that's A Green Witch's Pocket Book of Wisdom, Big Little Life Tips. So thank you for coming on, Robin. It is such a pleasure.
Thank you for having me, Vanessa.
I was just telling Robin how much I really appreciated diving into your world and the deep medicine that you hold that is also so holistic, so multifaceted and dimensional, which is true wellness, that's true health, right? And this remembrance that we are these beings that are physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, and we have all of these elements that we need tending to and nourishment, and how perfectly aligned your medicine is for this podcast and for the listeners today. I'd love for you, for those who are not familiar with you and your work, to share a little bit about what you do, your story. And I know that there's probably lots of origin stories, lots of journeys, you know, different phases, but anything you feel called to share in speaking into that today.
Okay. Yes, it's true. And the longer one lives, the more true it is. Like, which aspect of what got me to right here, right now to share, right? Because there's so many, and then there's the parts we don't even know, but obviously I can't speak to those. So as to the parts I know about, I always, from the youngest age, felt somehow aware of the connectedness, of the kinship of beings. I didn't understand it. I didn't have anyone yet to teach me like the reality of what I felt. But I did always feel that. And at the same time, I felt very separate and, you know, kind of lonely and not quite belonging. And I was very lucky because I had a couple of pretty wonderful people for parents. No one is perfect. Nothing is perfect. And I'm certainly not saying that. But they were very open-minded and adventurous. And they actually were the ones who brought me into my first spiritual teachers. And my mother kind of opened that door when she got breast cancer and was looking for, I guess, avenues of healing. My father went along with her because he loved her and would go on any adventure she took him on. And so I met these wondrous teachers, and they were doing work and really holistic work, like healing your whole being and looking into the shadowy places. So moving along through time, and I got really turned on to that work, and I worked with them for quite a long time. And I was very young. You know, I started with them, I was maybe, I don't know, I'm 18, 19, 20, like that young. And it was the deepest work. It's not popular kind of like, you know, close your eyes and visualize what you want and you'll get it. It was that like they had started there and then they began to explore what's going on when you do all the right techniques and this and that that you've been taught and you don't get it. What's going on there? So they really went into the inner places. Anyway, I loved them very much. They're both now ancestors. And that began to give me a place to put my understanding of the interconnected web. And yet my spirituality at that point was kind of still separate from my body. It was separate from my wildness. It was more of that kind of transcendent experiences of having these fabulous highs and then, quote, back to reality, right? But I knew that I was onto something and that if I just kept putting one foot in front of the other, I would find my trail. And what happened is I began to look for answers to my own health problems. That led me to herbal medicine. I'm shortcutting here, right? That led me to herbal medicine. And then that led me to this wise wild woman approach to herbal medicine, which was about learning from the plants themselves and learning to trust my body and learning that plants were my elders and teachers. And so I knew I had come home. I really liked the first part of the teachings. The spiritual work was a part of coming home because it was very much about love. And that's the strongest healing force there is. And then the plant part, like, kind of really brought everything together for me. And I've been walking that path ever since. Also, I discovered after I'd been, and I was living in New York City, I was doing my herbal thing in Manhattan, which is really fun now to think about. I don't live in Manhattan anymore, but it's funny, I'm still called in many places the Green Witch of New York, even though I haven't lived in New York for a while. When I say a while, years, but nonetheless, only other thing I wanted to say about that was I had been an herbalist for about 10 years. I did find a lot of help for the health problems I had initially been seeking help for. And then I learned that my mother's grandmother, so my great grandmother, had been a renowned herbalist. I was an herbalist literally a decade. I had no idea. I thought all my lineage Wow. was spiritual and ancestral in other lifetimes. I didn't know I had it in this life. So that was pretty affirming and exciting. And, you know, herbalism wasn't a really, quote unquote, a thing yet on the East Coast when I was getting started in the mid 80s. And now, of course, it's a big, big thing. And we can talk more about that, the good and the bad of that. But my kind of path in herbalism is to keep it earth connected. Right, to keep it very, very real in that sense, embodied, sustainable. The key piece, I think, is that it's brought me and so many that I've taught into a way to experience and express the true kinship that we have as part of nature, with nature, as part of nature, that I never had before. And that translates into joy.
Well, there's a lot there to to dive into. One of the things that you mentioned, well, there's quite a bit. The first thing that's coming up is the reflection when you mention what really guided you initially when you were younger and your mother with breast cancer. That was also my story of how I got into health. My mother got breast cancer. However, with my parents, they went down the conventional route, did all the checkbox list stuff, and we ended up in a place where I was looking at alternative methods and bringing it to them. But it's just so interesting to see the resistance and the fear that so many people have to things that really are the true traditional medicinal ways, right? And that disconnection became so apparent to me. And realizing how disconnected I had been, you know, on certain levels, you could say we're all always connected, but disconnected from Earth, from the healing magic of Earth.
Yeah.
And coming to know ourselves as Earth beings and these spiritual beings with Earth bodies. And yeah, it's interesting just to hear that and be reminded and the beautiful pathways that can come from illness, right? And how that impacts others.
Yeah. And I mean, my parents both went conventional as well as, you know, opening doors to other things. Later in life, both my parents definitely availed themselves of my herbal skills, but it was always a both and. It was always mm-hmm. a both and, which, you know, is the heart of wisdom anyway. I'm not necessarily saying, you know, in medically and traditional medicine, as you say, which I love that you said that, because so many don't acknowledge, right, that like things like herbal medicine, these are traditional medicines, and, you know, medical medicine, whatever its gifts are, it is not traditional. It is still sort of new. It's the new kid on the block.
Yeah.
It's conventional medicine. It's not traditional. But yes, illness, I mean, like all our challenges, right, can take us into places of healing. And as an herbalist, that's really how I work, is to help people look at how the body tells the truth, however painful that may be to look at. And I'm not excluded, like you're not excluded, right? The kinds of things that we're talking about are all practices, right? They're all practices. It's not like you have a checklist and you can check it and you're there. This is an ongoing spiral of self-illumination and learning. But the body brings us into, invites us, doesn't bring us, but invites us through these challenges into more coherence. You know, it's like shows us where we're off. And it's not just us. I mean, we're part of a vast, you know, system of ecosystems and relationships. So it's a web.
Mm-hmm.
It's a web, but it still is part of our earth walk, is to become ourselves, right? And really become our fully human awakened selves, or at least that's what I have found, that is really the key.
Yeah. And in this vein that you're speaking into illness as a pathway to that, as a remembrance, right? That so often, well, you could say maybe 100% of the time, even illness is at least related to some sort of distancing from who you really are.
Yes, and or, you know, yes, and right, in terms of perhaps not supporting yourself in your own self-expression or your mm-hmm. own true desires, and also can be reflections of things in the environment that are quite off, right?
Right.
You know, because we're all connected, right? You know, it doesn't mean that it's not scary or hard. It's just that if there is that trust in the meaning, that it has meaning and it has gifts to give, that changes how you experience things, right? It does. It just does. It changes. So, you know, for me too, I'm a writer. I kind of been saying I'm not an herbalist who writes books. I'm a writer who's also an herbalist, right? The writing is a piece of my soul. So I like to help people find the story, to find the thread, and to then look at together with whatever their support system is, like, how do we retell this story or reweave this story or make a more expansive story? And amazing things happen, right? Amazing things happen. Healings happen.
Well, speaking of writing, you have so many beautiful books. What inspired you to write this different kind of book, this pocket style, oracle type of inspirational book?
Well, I particularly became aware during the height of COVID of how lost many people truly feel, and how lost and unsupported, and, you know, suddenly having to be with themselves is being really difficult. I kind of realized, I was like, wow, these teachings hold up. These teachings are like going back from my first spiritual teachers to my herbal teachings. These are holding up during this really difficult, you know, passage of a few years. But actually, wait a minute, I have to correct myself, because it was a couple of different things, because I actually started it before then. I started a couple of years before then. It was more, I guess the height of COVID years really just accentuated it for me. But I wanted to share what works for me and what I've seen that I've taught that has worked for others to bring more juiciness and joy into daily life and more of a sense of finding oneself and one's purpose and one's and the meaning. And I wanted to bring together, I really wanted to do a pocketbook because I wanted something that people could, you know, just carry with them wherever and open to something like you said you did, because I love to do that. I love to do that, to get like a daily guidance, whether it's a tarot or it's a this or that. And then when the artist Gail agreed to illustrate it for me, I was over the moon because her work, as you saw, is so beautiful. I guess I could have answered you much shorter to say, these are the teachings that have worked for me and many people, and I was overflowing with them and decided to write them down and share them. That's the shorter answer.
You're like, we have to get out in one beautiful, lovely book that we can put in our pocket.
I was actually afraid it was going to be too like thick to be a pocketbook. So I was very thrilled when I got the review copy and I was like, it's the perfect size.
Yeah.
It really is. And, you know, like my 19-year-old niece said, oh, yeah, I would take this with me, Aunt Robin. I would. And it's not like she's into this stuff, right? All right. But or at least not fully or yet. Right. But she's like, oh, I would definitely carry that around with me. So I thought, OK, all right, then this is for anybody.
Yeah. What I love about it, too, is that there is such a magic in its simplicity, you know, like the I feel like the most genius things are the most simple things that are can just get to the heart of things in a moment and can bring you into presence and can show you a mirror. And I feel like that's what this book does in wryly ways. You know, it's like it's charming. And like you said, the illustrations are really lovely and beautiful. And it also works because I'm going to share some of my readings that I did, like just a couple of them and how on point they have been. But I'm curious, have you used it yourself, you know, and how is it showing up for you?
I found it absolutely uncanny. And I'm a big fan of magical synchronicity. I love it. I use it in with a clinic client. I use it for my daily reading. I use it for like, okay, we're going to do this podcast. What's the best, you know, reading that will be, you know, for your, for you who are joining us, for you who are listening to this conversation. And I do also want to say thank you for the beautiful things you just said about my book. Like they're just like that. You've said the things that were my deepest hope that this book provides.
Well, it shows through.
You know, tell me about your readings. I'm so curious.
Yes. Well, okay. I'll share two of them because there were a few, but the ones that, and these were the first two actually, and they really hit home was I tuned in, I prayed, and I asked to receive the message that I most need to receive right now in this present moment. And that, you know, that's really just for me. And kind of just like an overall umbrella. And I was shown in my mind's eye page number 142. So I went to page 142, and it's a picture of, it's the illustration, a drawing of an adult hand holding the hand of a young child. And together they're holding the dandelion. I'm going to cry right now. holding dandelions in all stages of their life. And it was just, this is, you know, tears of also joy and grief and all the things. You could say that those are, you know, facets of one another, joy and grief, right? Like, where does one begin? But what's so fascinating about that is in this stage of my life, I'm a new mother. I have an almost two-year-old. And what his favorite thing is to pick dandelions.
Oh.
And he loves all the stages. He loves when they're, you know, bright yellow and the flowers. And he finds the leaves kind of funny. And, you know, he likes the texture. And then he loves, of course, blowing the dandelions when they're in seed. And it just, when I tuned into that, I just looked at the illustration. I didn't even read yet because there's the text part that comes with us. So I just tapped into that. And for me, what was coming up was this childlike wonder, the play, but also the resilience of children and of generations, you know, that I feel Dandelion represents, and the joy in family. And that's something that I feel has been sort of a recurring theme of like a reminder. I mentioned to you before, but we had moved from Southern Oregon back to our origin town of Chicago. And it's very stark contrast. My partner and I have had a challenging time in coming back home, right? Like leaving a place that we love so much. But it was really in the name of connection with family, because most of our family, both of us, they're in Chicago. And for them to know our son, right? So it was really medicinal for me to connect, to go to the parks and connect with the plant allies, the flowers, and dandelion, and just to see that relationship budding between my little baby and dandelion and all that that represented. So it just hit home. I was crying, clearly had a moment. And then when I read the text, I'll just read it for those tuning in. "Nothing is more magical and mysterious than reality. If you doubt this, witness a baby of any species being born, or hold the hand of a beloved as they die. The ongoing transformation of energy to matter and matter to energy reflects the magical, mysterious essence of reality." And it just reflected that intergenerational connection that we have here, you know, and all the things that come with that. So I just want to say thank you for that beautiful writing and the illustration and for that moment. You know, that's the gift that's possible when we just literally open up the book and that's available for you.
Yeah. And when we literally open up, period, right? It's just the gifts can come in. What I've been getting recently is a mixed space in your life. When you make space, you know, whether you're cleaning out a closet or you're meditating, or I'm not reading it, so I don't remember the exact words, but it's like you make room for good things, people, and opportunities to come in. Yeah. And I've been finding that. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, for those tuning in, you mentioned working with the book in sort of this oracle or bibliomancy way, as you suggest.
Right. And just to say that for people, in case they don't know that word, because I didn't know that word, bibliomancy is what we're talking about, is when you use any book as an oracle. You ask a question for a message. And by the way you asked for that one is sort of like my favorite thing to do. Like, just what is it now? What does spirit want to say to me? But sometimes you might be asking about a particular thing too. But, and then you just open the book and you see if it resonates. And I know you were going on to ask me a question, but I'm just having this feeling, Vanessa, that I would love to share with our listeners what I had opened to for this conversation.
Oh, I would love to hear, of course.
Okay. So it's the images of there's lots of different images in the book. And then there's one that repeats of a basic, like, human female face framed by a plant. So this is one of the faces framed by rosemary. And the wisdom is, whatever you are seeking is also seeking you. Whatever you are seeking is also seeking you. And then the little explanation is, when your desire springs from the truth of your being, spirit will conspire to bring you together with what you long for.
Mm. And so it is. Yes. Yes, I feel that I and many others might have needed to hear that today.
And you'll laugh. I just randomly opened the book just to see, and I opened to Make Space in Your Life, the one I was telling you about. Yeah.
They're like, and this as well for everybody.
Remember, drop something from your weekly schedule. Make space.
Totally.
Yeah.
For those who maybe are new to working with realms in this way, right? To working with whether it's our plant kin or spirit, unseen beings, ancestors. I'm curious and it could be in relation to working with this book or in a process that you utilize yourself or are comfortable with. What are some ways that people can get more familiar with connecting in that way, or be more comfortable in connecting in that way? Because I feel like a lot of folks who maybe are just tapping into that way of being and relating and understanding their world sometimes have questions about, am I doing this right? Is the message that I'm receiving just my imagination? Who am I connecting to, right? There's a lot of questions that can come in. And I'm curious, what has been your experience with this and any practices that you feel might be helpful for people in coming more into that type of work?
Okay. Probably the sensor and editor within us that kind of looks over our shoulder and says, wow, you know, this is silly, or I feel foolish, or I mean, things that are like very natural to me or you, like getting a message from a dandelion, right, to someone else, they look at me and they're like, are you kidding me? And so this fear of being thought foolish is something we have to really just find a way to shed, to really not care. And I know that's easier said than done, you know, but we just don't have time. Our world doesn't have time for us to give in to every fear we have and every, you know what I mean, to every anxiety around fitting in and what, how we're going to be judged. So I'll just say that to start. The second thing is, because our healing is related to the larger healing of our cultures, our societies, our world, there is no separation and there's no time to waste at this point. We really are at a pivotal moment in the world. So one of the great teachers that everyone has is a body. I know as a spiritual person, entering into really being in my body was a journey. Like what should be the most natural thing in the world was not for me. It was very much easier for me. It felt more natural for me to be up in my head or out in my, you know, the ethers of my imagination and such. So the thing is, you definitely, in order to find, you want your feet on the ground, right? If you're opening to spirit, you want your feet on the ground. It's not about becoming like, woo-woo, you know, it's more about really embodied presence, embodied connection, embodied listening. So come home, right? You gotta come home. You gotta come into your body. And saying this, I also will say everything is a process. It's not like you snap your fingers, you make that decision, and then you are there, right? It's, there is no there there. It's everything is a spiraling process and cycles of transforming how you do your life, right? How you do what you do. The plants are the most amazingly generous helpers in helping us come home to ourselves, because they are all at home in themselves. They're all completely at home in themselves. Dandelion does not wish that they were more like a rose or a tulip or a, they're fine like being dandelions. So learning even one plant that you like to drink as a tea or take a bath in a tea of that plant, that can be a really helpful way to bring yourself in to yourself. You can't develop your intuition unless you're in yourself to be listening, right? I mean, you're an intuitive counselor, you know this. Otherwise, you get scattered. And what I have found is truly helpful, as well as profound, is that you can learn to use your own body as your truth barometer, right? How something lands in your body, but you have to stop and feel. So there's the coming home part. And be patient. If you've always just gone with, tried to be super logical and talk yourself out of a sensation you have, or a, but then, you know, be patient. Right? Be kind, be compassionate, and just keep practicing. And the simplest thing is to put your feet on the ground, literally put your feet on the earth. I lived in the city for a long time and taught in the city. I mean, up until the height of COVID, I was still in New York City teaching classes in herbal medicine there. And everywhere you go, there's a little patch of dirt, a little patch of earth you can get your feet on. And I know in the whole earthing, you know, thing, they teach that you must have your bare feet on the ground and you must not have your rubber-soled shoes. But here's what I think about that, Vanessa. I think that the earth's energy field is powerful enough that if someone has to have their shoes on, they're still going to get medicine from standing on the earth. Like, yes, beautiful. If you can take your shoes off, do it. But don't let that stop you. And then, hello, we have hands. We have hands. You can put your hands on a stone, on a tree. So even if you are, you know, just beginning, if there's a part of you that's always longed for this, but you felt too self-conscious or, you know, whatever, right? Anything, whatever's held you back, you don't even have to be obvious. You could be just sitting and rest your hand on a tree, like in a park bench, right? Nobody has to know what you're doing. Find your entry point, a beautiful thing you can do, an exercise I have taught and love to do this myself is, I mean, everything I teach, I practice myself. That's what it's all about, is we're all in this together. We're all in this together. So is to put one foot on the earth and imagine, do it right now in your imagination. Imagine your back is to a beautiful tree that you love or a tree that you've just made up. It's fine. And you've got one foot on the earth. And the other foot is like knee bent so that your sole of your foot is against, of the other foot is against the tree. And just breathe. And again, you can ask for a message or you can just be. One of my favorite mantras that's in one of my other books is, it's enough just to be. It's enough just to be. And that is anathema to the way that we're told to live in the world right now. You should always be listening to something or doing something or distracted by something or, you know, preferably four things at once, right? But it doesn't make you healthy. It doesn't make you whole and it doesn't bring joy. So the one other simple thing that my first teacher with Susan Weed taught me was to breathe with a plant. And to this day, that is a beautiful practice that I do and teach my students, is to, from your heart, right, send your breath out to the plant and invite that plant to connect to your heart and the reality, right? Because this is how it, why it's grounded and embodied and not just woo-woo up in the, we don't want to make ourselves like, you know, space shots. We want to acknowledge the cosmic part of us, yes, but also the earth wisdom. And so what I look for is, this is physical reality as well. When I exhale the carbon dioxide that to my body is metabolic waste, I'm feeding every plant around me. And when I inhale the oxygen that they can't use, they are feeding me. So in reality, we are always in relationship with the green beings. And we're the only ones who've forgotten. The plants haven't forgotten. The trees haven't forgotten. Even the seaweeds haven't forgotten. Nobody's forgotten but us. The animals know it. Everybody, the insects, everybody knows it. I mean, think about it. Think about if you've spotted an insect, even in your apartment, something you don't want there. The minute your eye falls on that insect, whether it's a roach or what have you, right? Boom, it stands absolutely still. Everything is listening. And so really the key is coming in and practicing listening and then allowing yourself to get better and better at it over time and developing trust in your inner voice, because sometimes you don't know if you're making it up. Sometimes you don't know it. You know what I mean? You have to create some experience that you can go, ah, I heard that. I didn't listen. I made a right there and I got right into that traffic jam. Right. And my intuition said, don't turn there, go another couple of blocks. Sorry, right. I'm giving like a, you know, an example that's not life and death. And that's intentional because you don't want to start trying to listen when it's about life and death matters or things to which you're deeply emotionally attached. It's much easier to start developing your intuition with things that are small.
Rose, I'm so excited that Robin, I'm sorry that you are speaking. That I just like the reason why I said Rose is because Rose has been such an ally for me in this process, in both my spiritual awakening, but then also coming into a level of, I'll say, safety and comfort in being in my body. Because I had a very similar, and I still continue, I have my challenges, a lot of my astrology, I don't have a lot of earth in terms of aspects and stuff and major influences. But I, for the longest time, and when I was going through my own spiritual awakening, it was like all up here, you know, yeah. And it's like floating up and out of my body. I didn't really want to be in this space. And so
I get it.
Coming, well, that's why my company was called Wildly Rooted, because it was the message that I needed to hear. Right. And so to come down, and the two things that I'll share that in connection with what you're speaking into that really showed up for me when I began this process of, I'll say, homecoming.
Beautiful.
Is number one, I started to hear the words, pay attention, pay attention, pay attention. And at first I was like, who is this? And pay attention to what? Like, what are you talking about? Right? And it constant pay attention. And it would be like in these moments where there was like, I would be maybe alone for a second and I would hear pay attention. Right. And then I, of course, had to build a relationship with that and discover and ask the question, what does pay attention actually mean? And then follow that. And through that process, I came into a deeper relationship with Rose, which that's a different story. But anyway, there is, I'm feeling from people listening and tuning in, almost like a level of safety that needs to be cultivated to come back into one's body for those that feel like they, you know, most of their being is like wanting to leave, or just not even consciously wanting to leave, but just sort of hovering. What are some of the allies in terms of our plantkin that either have been supportive for you in your life, or that you have seen to be really supportive in that process, we'll say, of coming home to the body?
Yeah, and I hear you. I mean, I definitely didn't feel safe to be here, and I didn't even want to. I mean, not I didn't want to feel safe. I didn't even want to be here. I thought, oh, people are, I used to joke, but I wasn't really joking. I was like, oh, this is my least favorite life in a really long time. It's really hard. People are so cruel, and there's just all these terrible things happening, and yada, yada, yada. You know, anyway, and really, it's just so astounding to me how much that has shifted for me. And I mean, one of the exercises I put in Healing Magic is to take a walk and just, you don't even need to know the names of the trees or the plants, but like, just where does your body want to go? Like, feel, or where your heart is guiding you, and just stop at the tree that is the one that you want to stop at, and ask that tree to be a guardian for you, to be a guardian. And you bring something that you put down at the tree, an offering. It could be a crystal, it could be water, it could be tobacco, it could be something you relate to, something that you value, right? Something you value. And ask that tree to be a guardian. Or that could be one, you know, one thing that helps. And that's if it happens to be something, a tree like that you could eat or drink some part of, like maybe it's a linden tree. Linden, maybe you find out it's a linden, or you know it's a linden. Linden is a beautiful calming tea. So because your question, it depends on what that person is, where their challenge is, where the entry point is. So like, let's just say, I'll give it just a few examples of energies of plants that may speak to anyone who's listening, who's going like, what's mine? I want to, you know, rose is a wonderful plant for helping you to open your heart to yourself. Okay, I'm going to just do spiritual shorthand here, right? Helps you open your heart to yourself, helps you know more how to say yes. And of course, there's those marvelous thorns that you can take as a metaphor. It helps you know what to say no to, right? Or who to say no to. So rose can be a beautiful one for learning to say yes and no. The linden I mentioned, so calming, so helpful, right? And any of these things I'm talking about, they're all going to have a physical mirror, right? So linen can lower blood pressure. Rose can help the liver, right? Which is kind of where we store our unexpressed anger, right? Like when we don't say no, when we should say no, right? Or we don't say yes to ourselves when we wish we had, or wish we could. So whatever you wish you could, remember, whatever you're seeking is also seeking you. Imagine that what you are longing for is, it's walking towards you as you open yourself. For me, a great ally has been the oak tree. I live in an oak forest. I have oak all around, but I have one particular oak a couple of miles from home that I go to see, because this is ancient. Well, ancient, but it like maybe 300, 350 years old, grandmother, grandfather, oak tree. And I go to that tree pretty often for whatever it is I need. Solace, when I had to say goodbye to my beloved cat, that was the oak tree I cried to before I cried to anybody else. For messages, for medicine, and not coincidentally, because I don't believe in that, but synchronistically enough, that was the first herb that had ever been recommended to me way back when before I even started to study herbal medicine, but the first time I ever sought herbal help for anything. Wow. That was white oak. So, and here I am all these years later in mad love with this white oak tree that I go to really, really regularly. Yeah, so white oak can help you feel more solid. Nettles is a really famous one to drink for, I say really for self-respect, right? And again, remember, all these plants have amazing medicine. You know, we could talk for days about nettles, physical medicine, but nettles, stinging nettles. You can't just grab onto a nettle. So nettle can help you find that sense of safety through self-respect, drinking nettles. I also really love baths to help people come in. I love baths myself, right? A rose bath is a beautiful thing. I do caution, make your infusion nice and strong in your pot or your jar, and then pour it through a strainer for the most part. Like, unless you are angling to meet your plumber, right? Don't put all the herbs in your bath. Maybe you want one or two for the ambiance, go ahead. But you don't need that. But nor is it as good to just put a like a little baggie of the herbs right under the faucet and let the water run. It's fine, but it doesn't really give you the gift that that plant has to give you. Mostly these days, and everybody's different, but mostly these days, I find that we need nervous system nourishing, nervous system strengthening, and nervous system soothing. That's the thing that helps us kind of want to be here, right? Mm-hmm. So there's many. I'll mention just one more. Now I'm going to mention two. Oat straw in any and every form, unless you have celiac disease, but oat straw in any form, bath especially great, drinking the infusion, one of my favorite things to do really regularly. And then the other one I wanted to mention, and oatmeal is great, but it doesn't do the same thing. And somebody was just asking that. I heard that. I heard you. And yeah. Another great herb that people could get to know is motherwort, Leonoris cardiaca, the lion-hearted one. So the lion-hearted one is one that I mean, all of them, I really think, how did I ever live without these? And oh, how I wish. Yeah. These herbs when I was a teenager, and you know, in my 20s, I really, really do wish I had them. But nonetheless, at any point, it's good to open to the plant people, and because they really have our backs and our fronts and our tops and our bottoms, they really do. So motherwort I typically use as a alcohol tincture. If somebody doesn't want to take it in tincture, then find a different herb. It's unless you like really bitter teas, because the tea is really, really bitter. I don't generally drink it. Well, anyway, this isn't an herbal medicine class, so I'll stop there. But motherwort is so soothing for anxiety. Oat straw will help you grow into a more resilient person. Nettles, yes, strengthening your self-respect. Rose, opening your heart to yourself. And again, all of these, I mean, I have a book called The Gift of Healing Herbs that has hundreds of super simple recipes, because you know what you said, that beautiful compliment you gave me about, you know, the distilled wisdom. I don't think that was your word, but you know, that they were short and went right in. I'm like that with recipes, because I know if it's not easy for me, I'm not as good at self-care. If I can make it easy, accessible, simpler, I'm much more like, and delicious, I'm much more likely to do it. So that's my whole focus in The Gift of Healing Herbs, is it's by body systems, but it's recipes that typically feature 1 to 3 herbs. There's a few with more, but not many. And the real accessible, common plants, because that's another great teaching, is everything we need is right around us. We don't need to be importing from the furthest reaches of the earth. We need to learn the dandelion that's in your city park. We need to learn the blue violets that are growing as a quote weed in your garden that you're pulling out, that want to be your medicine, or the mugwort that wants to be your medicine that you're pulling out of your little city plot. The plants come where you are and they come to help. That's their thing. That really is their thing.
Yes. It's so beautiful. And those are all such, it's really wonderful, because I'm just feeling so many people tuning in and saying, okay, I can do that. I can work with rose. I can work with oat straw. The bath sounds yummy. I can do this, right? And 1000% on nervous system support with all of that. And the practices that you laid out early on in this episode too, for really bringing a little bit more balance to our nerves and just taking those moments.
And if you can get into wilder land, you know, do it, yeah. You know? I mean, that for me is really, really helpful. So when I lived in the city, I'd put my feet down in the little tiny bit of patch of earth, you know, that the bush was planted in. And, you know, now I live on the edge of a forest. So like this morning, I went up into the forest and it gives me so much. It gives me so much.
I just had to bring this up, if you did allow for space, because sometimes I get called to pull from specific decks or tarot or oracle decks with particular guests. And I was called to pull from the Herbal Astrology Oracle deck. This is from Anima Mundi, Adriana Ayales, who created this deck. And what I pulled, I was like, huh, this is interesting. I wonder what Robin has to say. We got mandrake, sexuality, and sensuality.
Lovely.
Yeah. And so I was like, you know, this connects, the sensuality piece in particular, though, feels like it's connected to this theme that we're also expounding upon of embodiment, like being in our body and paying attention. And so just on this theme, whether it's, you know, mandrake sparks something or sensuality sparks something for you, with this thread of this ongoing conversation we're having, is there anything that you feel called to share on that? Or maybe you're hearing somebody in the audience, in the listener, asking a question.
I would say that, well, first of all, I love Adriana. I love her. And I don't have a real personal relationship with mandrake, but I definitely have a personal relationship with sensuality and sexuality. So I think that the message to me is that they're not separate. Like, my first teachers even used to do a class called, I can't remember if it was the spirituality of sex or the sexuality of spirit, but like literally, is that our spirituality and our sexuality are related, just like everything is related. And, you know, you're talking about, and I'm talking about, like, coming into the body. Well, we wouldn't even have them without somebody's sexuality, right?
That's right.
And it's the same energy, right? The same energy that brings the plants, like, coming up out of the earth, right? Is the same life force that creates your art, right? Your podcast creation, or my book, or my herbal medicine preparation, right? It's, sexuality is the life force. right? And it doesn't have to be, it's just like birthing and creativity energy. It doesn't have to bring forth a child. It can be directed towards healing. It could be directed towards anything, but it is part of our life force that we do want to kindle, right? And bring to life. And the sensuality is just pleasure. Herbs really help bring us back into that tactile pleasure of being alive and touching the flower, seeing into, you know, disappearing into the many blossoms that show up as one blossom head in your dandelion. So, and the other thing is, now this is just, I am not sure who I heard say this, but I'm gonna quote it because it's not only kind of funny, it's also often true. I wish I could remember who I heard say this. She was like some, you know, well-known teacher, but she said, oftentimes when someone comes to me for help with what they are considering a spiritual problem, it's actually a sexual issue. And when they come to me for help with a sexual problem, it's actually a spiritual issue.
Wow.
So yeah. I thought that was very funny and intriguing. And there is reality to that, again, because it's like sometimes when somebody thinks I'm having trouble, you know, spiritually connecting, right? But it's really about coming in, right? Or somebody else is saying, I'm confused about sex and what I want, and it's really more like the spirit of who am I, and to what am I connected? What is the truth of my spirit, right? And then that will resolve the other thing. So that's my response to your card, Paul.
I feel many light bulbs going up with listeners on that one. Oh, thank you. Thank you for indulging me with that card pull.
It was fun.
Yeah. Well, the last question that I have for you before we share how people can find you, and we ask this of everybody, what's one thing that is currently feeding your wild, whether body, mind, soul?
Well, I don't know if I went out dancing the other night to some really funky music, some fabulous band. That totally was great. That fed me deeply. And that's something I get to do a lot. And I actually couldn't find anybody who wanted to come. And I just went out. And so I felt very brave. So that was super fun and fed my wild. Today, walking up into the forest fed my wild deeply, like just being quiet, and being quiet really feeds my wild too, interestingly, right? The other end of the spectrum, and having some just spacious silence. So those are two things. And then the third thing I would say is having time to connect with people I love. Right, that too feeds like my deepest self. I don't know if that's my wild, but I tend to think of it as that, right? The wild is kind of the untamed, just authentic self.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, I love those, especially the dancing. You're inspiring me to do a little bit of dance session after we get off
right now. Yeah, it's always great.
Yeah. Well, how can people find you? And is there anything coming up on the horizon that you would like to share about?
Okay. Well, as you've been saying, I did just launch the publication of The Green Witch's Pocketbook of Wisdom, Big Little Life Tips. So, of course, I'd love for people to check that out. And my other books, Healing Magic and Healing Magic, A Green Witch's Guidebook to Conscious Living, and The Gift of Healing Herbs. And all of them can be found at my brand new, like literally brand new website, Robin Rose Bennett Books. Woo-hoo. And yeah, very exciting. It's in the works for a while. And then my new website, my whole like full on website is just my name, Robin Rose Bennett. And I would love for you to come and sign up for my newsletter, because that's how you find out about whatever is going on. But it's not just like, you know, this class or that class is happening. My newsletters tend to have a lot of content. I don't mean a lot like pages and pages. I mean, I value your time. So if you are reading my stuff, I want it to be worth your time. So I'd love for you to sign up for my newsletter, you know, go to the websites. And also, just because I know people listen from anywhere, I do want to say that I do have some online courses coming up in early 2024. I'll be doing a course through the Shift Network. And then a little later, I will be doing a course through New York Open Center. Oh, and the one other thing I wanted to say is, if any of you get the Green Witch Pocketbook and love it and choose to support me by writing a review of it, then you automatically will get entered into a contest to win a tarot reading with me. But all of the, I'm sure you'll have stuff in the show notes, right? And these addresses and stuff.
Yeah, and I'll make sure to get the link or for more information on how to go about writing a review. Would that be on Amazon? Is that how that works?
Yeah, it's all on my, I have it on Robin Rose Bennett Books. It's all right there. Okay. And yes, it's Amazon or Goodreads.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's what I would love to have. Amazing. Yeah. So now you know my birthday. What's yours before we get
June off? 27.
Cancer.
Yeah. Beautiful.
So that's how you can find me, is through the websites, the newsletter, and then I have the usual, the Instagram and YouTube and such like.
Yes, and as Robin says, I will have all the links in the show notes if you want to go there. Just one easy click. And I feel so blessed to have you on, Robin, and to have your pocketbook to accompany me in all my life meandering. So thank you for all your wisdom, for sharing it so bravely and beautifully, and yeah, and for coming on.
Thanks, Vanessa, and thanks for your work, and thanks for you. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Green blessings, everyone.
Bye-bye.